You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, a self-proclaimed vegetable butcher shares no-fuss tips for slicing, dicing, and masterfully cooking vegetable main courses.
First, summer is peak season for European travel. Our next guest has been making it his calling to help travelers get the most out of their travels to Europe and beyond.
Rick Steves hosts the public TV series Rick Steves Europe, and his public radio show Travel with Rick Steves joins WPR's weekend lineup tomorrow. You can catch it on Saturdays at 3 o'clock. Rick, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks, Veronica. Good to be with you.
Well, Rick, you encourage people who travel to become what you call temporary locals. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Well, the challenge for us is to make sure we get the most experience out of every mile, minute, and dollar we have in our trip. And when we go like tourists, a lot of times we see just tired old cliches on stage, and we fall into the arms of people that just see us as a chance to make money. And that's part of tourism, you know. But I like to distinguish my trip by becoming a temporary local. Doing things locals do for fun. I like to think of myself as a cultural chameleon. If I'm in Czech Republic, I'll drink a nice lager. If I'm in Belgium, I'll drink a nice dark monk-made beer. If I'm in England, I'll have a spot of tea. I never drink a spot of tea in the United States. It just seems kind of strange. But when I'm in England, it seems right. So you want to get yourself in a mindset of eating with the season, going with the locals. Don't compare things to back home, but just embrace things the way they are over there and celebrate it.
And along that same line of thinking, you also say that meaningful contact with local people is a must for travelers. What is the best way to do that and maybe not have it feel forced?
Yeah, the problem is it's a huge industry. I mean, the number one employer in Europe by some measures is tourism. And, you know, when you get off your tour bus in front of the Vatican, there's a guy sitting on the curb that's just going to jump up and try to sell you things. And when you go to the hotel and you ask him where should you go to eat, they're going to send you off to the touristy restaurant that has the folkloric dancers or whatever. And, again, that's part of it. But you need to find a way in each country to connect with locals. I mean, when I'm in Finland, there's nothing better than to go into a working-class neighborhood and find a neighborhood sauna. I mean, these days, you know, you have to be up to date on the information. Finland is so affluent these days that neighborhood saunas are getting kind of rare because most people are wealthy enough to have a sauna at home, and many workplaces just provide a sauna also. But if you go out to the neighborhoods where the working class is, you'll find the whole gang gathered at the sauna. And to sit naked in a sauna with a bunch of Finns, you sit there, it's a woody world with steam and pasty blonde hair on sweaty faces, and you don't know what century you're in, but you do know you're in Finland. You can't help but be immersed in the culture when you do something like that. When you go to Istanbul, go to a little taverna and suck on a hookah and play backgammon. I mean, you should know how to play backgammon before you go to Turkey. When you go to France, go to the park and play boules with the old guys. I mean, under a tree in every park in France, it seems there's retired guys playing boules, lawn bowling. And I just love that. And it's an opportunity there for the taking. But good travelers know how to connect, and other travelers stay at hotel in their hotel and watch a movie in their hotel room. You need to get out. When you go to a pub in England, you can sit at a table, but when you sit at the bar, that's a signal that you want to talk. And the pub is a public house. That's where the word pub comes from. And if you want to connect with locals anywhere in Britain or Ireland, sit at the bar in a pub, and you'll have all the friends in the world.
But the kinds of stuff you're talking about, I mean, a lot of them are not the kinds of things you'll find in a guidebook, are they?
Well, you know, most travel writers try to get off the beaten path in this sort of thing, but there's a system that tries to direct us. When I land in Europe with my public television TV crew, it's like we're met at the airport with a lady in a dirndl that wants to take us out to the new casino. They've got all the stuff that was invested in for their industry in the last year, and they see us as a chance to push business their way. And my goal as a travel teacher is to help my American travelers better understand whatever country they're going to. And this is so important these days because, the United States is 4% of this planet, and I think it's more important than ever that we play ball with the other 96%. And it's just so fun to get out of your comfort zone and realize that smart people find different truths to be self-evident and God-given. And, you know, we don't need to go home and look forward to a cheese course every night. But when I'm in France, that cheese course is sort of the highlight of my day.
How are Americans perceived abroad these days? I know you specialize in Europe, but there are heightened tensions about various sorts, political and otherwise. What do you need to know about being an American while traveling abroad right now?
Well, you know, there's a lot of concern about that within our country these days because there's a lot of edginess in the political discourse in our country, and there's also a lot of fear-mongering, I think, within our society, and we tend to the consequence of that is we get a frightened citizenry. I remember in the old days people said bon voyage. Now people don't say bon voyage. They say have a safe trip. And, you know, I just think that's a very troubling sort of notion. I think if people knew what was going on, they'd realize you're much safer if you leave this country than if you stay here, statistically. Anytime somebody tells me to have a safe trip, I want to say, well, you have a safe stay at home. Because if you really cared for your loved ones, you knew what the statistics were, you'd take them to Europe tomorrow. You know, it's safe over there. It's dangerous here. As far as our reception in Europe, I spend 4 months a year in Europe every year. I've done that for the last 30 years. 120 days of traveling. I'm meeting people all the time. I just got back from a two-month trip, a wonderful two-month trip, and Sunday I'm flying away for another two-month trip, and it doesn't even occur to me that what do they think about Americans? You know, we're all in this together, and people are just people who live in different countries, and we have different styles, and we have different passions. We're tackling the same problems with a different sort of cultural context, and it's just really refreshing and fun and uplifting to travel around the world and realize it's. And there's a lot more good than bad, and the more we connect, the safer and happier we'll all be. But as far as Europe goes, we take 20,000 people to Europe every year on our tours, and I'm very in touch with how people are received around Europe because I'm in charge of making sure these people have a good time. It is not an issue. You go to Europe and you have a good time. You travel anywhere, and you know, you can meet people, and you can respect people. And when you come home, you're probably more thankful than ever that you're a citizen of our country. But you're a little, you can empathize better with people outside of our borders. And I think that's, you know, for me, the greatest souvenir that you could bring home is a global perspective, and that's something I treasure.
You're an experienced traveler, and you spent a lot of time, as you said, traveling abroad. I am curious, though, if that stereotype, and I hope it's a stereotype of the boorish American traveler, is still out there alive and well, or is it a more sophisticated world, and everybody knows that each person is unique and individual now? Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Americans have their naivete and their playfulness and their curiosity and their ethnocentrism, and in some ways the American eagle is not house-trained. I think Europeans, my beat is Europe, so I travel mostly in Europe, but I travel all over the world, and I find that people enjoy meeting us as individuals. And there's plenty to talk about politically if you want to talk politics. I find in Europe anyways, people are a little polite about jumping right into a political discussion. Let's say you are of a political persuasion that you think might not be popular in Europe. Nobody's going to make you talk politics. You know, if you support ideas that would be the opposite of what Europeans support, you could see that as a great opportunity to talk with smart people and get a different perspective, even though you don't need to change your mind. Or you could say, let's just talk about, wine or soccer or the weather and have an equally fun trip. So I find Europeans are respectful that way. If you do broach politics or religion or these kind of things, Europeans love to talk, and they're very smart, and I find that's one of the great joys of travel, is having Europeans put me in my place to rough up my ethnocentrism. As experienced of a traveler as I may be, and as much as I pride myself in being open to other cultures and other ways of thinking, I'm ethnocentric to a certain degree, just like any American. We're proud of our country, we have a great country, and we're inclined to think we do it right. But we don't do it right. We do it our way, and we may like our way, but Europeans choose to do it a different way. And the last thing I'm ever going to do is judge Europeans for, you know, not having capital punishment, or judge Europeans for giving people paid vacations, or judge Europeans for taking care of their environment. You know, I'm not going to put them down for that. I'll just say, oh, you guys see things differently than we do. And I think that's a stimulating and a challenging part of travel that for me makes the plane ticket one of the best values in the world.
We're talking with Rick Steves right now. He's the host of Travel with Rick Steves. And one thing you've been writing about lately, Rick, is the allure of leaving the hotel at night and taking part in the nightlife of a city.
Oh,
what have you been seeing and doing?
Well, it was interesting because I was just in Europe, and it occurred to me, I was in Europe for 2 months. I just got back. I was all over. I had a great trip from Lisbon and Spain and Catalonia and the Alps and the greatest of Italy. I was in Bulgaria. I was in Romania, a fascinating time in Romania. And when I flew home, on the last night in the hotel, it occurred to me, I have not turned on the TV for 60 nights in a row in hotels. The TV is there. It's always there. And the first thing I do when I get into a room is put the remote away, because I'm so immersed in that culture, I don't really want to turn on the TV. And what I like to do at night, during the day I'm working. I'm working on my guidebooks, or I'm working on my tours, or I'm working on my TV shows. But at night, when I want to take a break, I put all of the work away, and I just go out and walk around. And, you know, when you're in the middle of the day in Florence, it is a zoo with tourists, and there's long lines, and there's hustlers, and there's just intensity, and there's harsh light with the sun. You go back out at night, and you walk around the same great squares, and it is like a time tunnel experience. You're just back in the Renaissance. It's you and floodlit facades and a few well-chosen street musicians and some sparkling bars where cool people are sitting out and enjoying their spritz. And I just think, whoa, I could have missed this. I could have been sitting in the hotel room. But no, I'm just going to take a slow stroll through the magnificent squares of Florence or Oslo or Dublin or Lisbon or whatever after dark.
Rick, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, and I am so excited to be able to share my passion for travel. It's, you know, as a travel writer, I focus mostly on Europe. But the fun thing for me with our radio show is we get to talk to people from all corners, domestic travel here in the United States, travel in the developing world, and, of course, traveling in Europe. And I'm just thankful to have a chance to be part of your family at Wisconsin Public Radio, and look forward to more travels together.
We're looking forward to it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That was travel expert Rick Steves. He's the host of the public radio show Travel with Rick Steves. You can catch it Saturday afternoons at 3 on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up after the news, we hear from a self-proclaimed vegetable butcher, and we'll find out how to select, prep, slice, dice, and masterfully cook vegetables from artichokes to zucchini. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.